This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Escape the Ordinary with Green and Black's Organic Chocolate, sponsor of the Women's Podcast. A rich, intense chocolate to savor. You're listening to the Irish Times Women's Podcast. I'm Roisin Ingle. Thanks to the more than 200 of you who joined us on Saturday night for our last big night in of the first season when I spoke to author Emma Donoghue. We're going to be bringing you that conversation on the next episode. It really was a brilliant end to our pandemic series of Zoom chats brought to you in association with our great sponsor, Green and Blacks. We're going to be back for more of that in October, but do keep in touch with us about anything else on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at IT Women's Podcast. You can always email us too on the Women's Podcast at irishtimes.com. And as always, if you want to write a review on iTunes, we'd be very grateful, and do subscribe so that you get your podcasts wherever you find them. Now, yoga has had a very, very good pandemic. There's been a boom in online classes, and even the president has been keeping up his practice in Oris on Uachtaráin. So we wanted to let you know about a really great free, which is very important when people are a bit strapped for cash, yoga festival that is happening this weekend. And we wanted to talk to the woman, Kathy Pearson, who came up with the idea inspired by the world-renowned Bali Spirit Festival.
So I rang an old friend who we've tried to do some businesses together over the years, and he's a sort of designer and tech guy, Killian Cavan is his name, and he, about 12 years ago, proposed this idea to me saying, Kathy, why don't you think about doing some yoga online? And I thought, that'll never catch on. Nobody wants to be doing yoga online. What, are you mad?
So now the Celtic Woodland Yoga Festival is happening this weekend online. It's free. And Kathy has a great story to tell about how she went from working in the movie industry to leading a nomadic yoga lifestyle and spending her time in Thailand, in the jungle, in Bali, in Ireland. So I spoke to Kathy to tell me about her journey to yoga and about why she thinks it's very good that we have a president who knows his way around a downward dog. I think you're really going to enjoy this. Kathy Pearson.
Thank you very much for joining us on the Women's Podcast. Tell us about your yoga festival and why, even in COVID times, you're not abandoning it and the second one is going to be held online.
Hi, Roisin. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome.
Well, I spent about a year of really hard work with my small team to try and get the first Celtic Woodland Yoga Festival off the ground. And that was in Louth last July, the middle of July last year in the beautiful town Leigh Hall. And so we were all set to go for the second year in July. And when everything started to shut down in March, I just thought, there's no way we'll still be in this boat in July. So we'll be grand. And I was looking at all the other events sort of dropping and dropping. And then came around sort of the middle of April, I realized like all our ticket sales and all our kind of marketing months were being wiped out. And you know, money was still being spent on that. So we had to pause that just to see what happened. And then by the end of April, and you know, when you start seeing what was happening with the whole COVID thing in other places in the world, and it started to look, okay, this is a bit of a worry now. So I had to make the call early May just to cancel it. Thank goodness I did. And then I just thought, well, I don't want to cancel it completely. So maybe we can cobble a few classes together and throw something online so people don't forget about us. And I have a background in film production, so I can do that sort of production stuff, but tech is all quite not my area. I mean, I can do a little bit here and there, but I'm not an expert at all in that area. So I rang an old friend who we've tried to do some businesses together over the years, and he's a sort of designer and tech guy, Killian Kavanagh's his name. And he, about 12 years ago, proposed this idea to me saying, "Kathy, why don't you think about doing some yoga online?" And I thought, that'll never catch on. Nobody wants to be doing yoga online. What, are you mad? And he's a real business head on his shoulders. He goes, "I think you might be wrong there." And I said, "I'm telling you, nobody wants to be doing yoga online." So off I went to my little jungle house in Thailand where I live half the year and did my yoga, not online. And so when all this COVID stuff happened and suddenly everyone was doing Zoom classes and freaking out about how they're going to continue their teaching life, I rang him up really sheepishly and said, "Do you remember that idea you had 12 years ago? I said, would you be open to like maybe thinking about that now?" And he just laughed and said, "Well, you took your time. Okay, what's your idea?" So I pitched the idea to him because I needed help. I needed some technical expertise. And so he loved the idea, but then we got talking and suddenly it wasn't a little cobbled together, throw a few classes online. It sort of became the, I was thinking about like Hollywood, Bollywood, and now it's like Celtic Wood Productions. So it's now this beast of a virtual event with 38 teachers and super high production level. And yeah, I'm kind of questioning my sanity at the moment a little bit, but it's going to be great.
No, I'm glad you went back to him, even sheepishly, because it's always good to be able to acknowledge when you were wrong.
With your tail between your legs. Yeah,
exactly. Now, listen, let's go back a bit, because your background is certainly not yoga. And you mentioned your little jungle hut in Thailand where you live half the year, which I know our listeners' ears will have pricked up and gone, what? How does she manage that? So let's start with sort of your background in film, how you got into that in the first place.
Sure. Well, I kind of come from a family of filmmakers and theatre people. So I grew up with that all through my teenage years. So it just seemed like the only thing I knew I should be doing.
Well, tell us about your family background in that respect.
Well, my dad's a film producer. He's done Noel Pearson. So he's done a lot of big films like My Left Foot in the Field and Dancing at Lunasa and Tara Road and a lot of kind of Irish classics. That was his sort of forte. And so I grew up, like my first film I worked on when I was 14 or 15 was My Left Foot. I was an extra and I was looking after the little kids. I was babysitting. So I guess I got the bug after that. And then went to college and did all the usual stuff. And when I came out, I worked as a trainee. So I did the whole kind of work my way up the ranks, parking trucks, you know, stopping traffic at the end of fields, standing in the rain in wet gear for hours and hours on end. I did all that for years. And then eventually I was and am still a location manager. So that means we find all the locations for movies and TV commercials and then set up all the logistics for that. So it's both creative, but also quite, you know, a lot of production skills required too. So I did that for years all through my 20s. And, you know, the film business back then used to be really busy in the summer, you know, so I'd have 6 or 7 like flat out months of working, you know, hours, 70 hours, 80 hours a week. And I'd come out of it knackered and get back on my yoga mat. And I started going to Asia, India, Thailand. I had already at that point loved yoga and discovered meditation and had a kind of passion for that. And I suppose in my mid-20s, I had this wanderlust that every time the winter came and it would get really cold and drizzly and dark here, I would just take off after a long season of film work. And I did that for years and years. And then towards sort of, I suppose the late 90s, early 2000s, it's just instead of going for 2 or 3 months, suddenly I was there for 5 or 6 months having ticket meltdown changes. And in the end, I just realized I just should stop kidding myself here. This is how I actually want to live. So I built this amazing little house. I mean, it's a simple house. It's got those coconut palm leaf roof. It's got no walls. The walls it does have are on wheels and you slide them back. So I have 360 view of the jungle. I have a great community of friends there. It's overlooking 2 beaches. I suppose it has the $1 billion view. But the house itself is extremely simple. But yeah, and it's like when it's full moon, I don't need to have the lights on because the whole house is just illuminated by moonlight, and it's really paradise. And
where exactly is it, Kathy?
It's in Koh Phangan in the sanctuary. I'm sure a lot of your listeners, if they're kind of have that same itchy feet that I do, have heard of the sanctuary. It's a very renowned resort and kind of healing center, and it's got quite a mix of hedonism and healing. So there's a lot of dance parties in the full moon, and then a lot of people doing yoga during the day. So I've been there, I suppose, close on 20 years now, which is shocking. And I haven't obviously been able to get there since our current crisis hit, but hopefully I will at some point.
How are your itchy feet doing now? Lockdown since January.
I'm very itchy, Roisin.
And in the midst of all of this, you also had a baby and you have a 5-year-old son.
Yeah, he's 5 in September.
Parenthood kind of mix in with that quite the H and H, the hedonism and the healing. And then you put in the P with that, the parenting.
Well, I gave up the hedonism a good while ago, many moons ago. I'm on the edges of it looking in now. But yeah, my little fella, he's been raised like that. Like since he was 5 months old, I took off with him in a baby sling. And we did Laos and Thailand and Bali, and then ended up settling in Bali because they just have such a beautiful philosophy around children there. They really, children are the center of everything there. So if you arrive in Bali with a baby in your arms, you're like a rock star. And you can't go into a cafe or a restaurant until someone just wants to swoop them out of your arms and, you know, take them into the kitchen and show them off. So he's developed like a very friendly nature because he's just so used to being around different cultures and different people, and he loves the jungle. He's been barefoot, you know, running around chasing lizards since he's like able to walk, really.
Little Mowgli.
Yeah, he totally is. We were watching Jungle Book last night and he's like, "That's me, mommy."
That's so cute. So you've managed to kind of, you know, I'd say a lot of people listening are kind of having a bit of the green-eyed monster. It sounds idyllic, you know, to be able to come back, you know, earn some money, do what you love, which is the location managing and all that, and then to live this other very, very simple but beautiful, enriching life the rest of the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's all true, what you said, but there's certain sacrifices. It doesn't just happen overnight. You know, I've realized I've had to sacrifice a lot of things that people would usually see as security, you know, like a full-time job or a regular income or, you know, even I would say steady relationships, you know. So those things have not been at the forefront. I've just had to, well, some could call it winging it. I like to call it following the energy. But I probably do wing it and fly by the seat of my pants a lot of the time, but it keeps it exciting.
Is there a certain amount, I mean, you said follow the energy there, is there also a certain amount of this sort of, is it the same thing as just trusting the universe and sort of trusting that what you need will come, which is a very alien concept to a lot of us who kind of feel like, oh God, if we don't know where the next paycheck is coming from and if we don't have that security, what will happen? But I imagine that you've had to kind of live a life where you kind of just have to trust that what you need will be there. Because how else could you kind of have peace of mind?
Yeah, and I have all those same fears too that everybody else has, like how am I going to hit the mortgage this month, or, you know, all those normal kind of concerns, especially since becoming a parent even more so. But I've sort of learned to work with those feelings and not let them take me out, or not let them be the background to rule my decision-making process, and try to create the lifestyle that I want to have rather than that's orientated by decisions that are fear-based. So that's, you know, that's been a bit of a spiritual path for me, if you like, that, you know, when I do feel those worries and things come up, I'm like, okay, right, what's this? Do a bit of inner work on this. Because I don't want that preventing me from having the life I want to have. So yeah, people some say to me, oh, you're living the dream. Yeah, but when I come back to Ireland, sometimes I don't leave the house for a week because I'm just like, oh my God, is the phone going to ring? Is anyone going to hire me? Is anyone going to come? You know, I have all those normal thoughts and fears like everybody else. I just have learned to work with them. I mean, the yoga has definitely helped with giving me structure and a practice for that, and try to share that with other people when I can in the way that I teach.
And speaking of which, in terms of your daily lifestyle, do you, I'm just curious about whether you have a routine and whether there's certain notes in your day that you have to hit and that you prioritize in order for you to keep going in the way that you describe.
Sure. Yeah. Well, just my self-practice, that's non-negotiable. That has to happen. It used to happen for 2 or 3 hours every day, 6 days a week. Then parenthood happened. And as you know, you just don't have 2 or 3 hours spare in the morning. So now if I can get an hour and a half in, that's like a really good morning. And generally it's like 45 minutes to an hour, but it has to happen because otherwise I'm not a very nice mommy.
Okay. So listen, let's go back to the festival. You had your first one last year and you wrote an article for the Irish Times, and you were sort of delighted in this article talking about the fact that Michael D. Higgins is openly a yoga enthusiast and someone who practices and is very open about that. What does that kind of representation mean to people like you and to that whole community? Because it's so mainstream now, yoga, much more than it was even 20 years.
I know, that's just so amazing that it is more mainstream. But we're also trying to get across in the yoga festival that, like, there's yoga, you know, in the form of exercise, and then there's yoga in the form of embodied movement and really using it as a spiritual practice. So a lot of people enter yoga because they have an ache or a pain or something in the body that they want to address. And that's a great start because it's a fantastic thing to take care of yourself in that way. But then after a little while, you realize, okay, there's something else going on here. I'm learning about my mind. I'm learning about my tendencies and my behavior patterns and all that. So when you hear like somebody like Michael D. Higgins is open about that, it's amazing. And it's so heart touching because imagine all our other world leaders were doing what he's doing. I mean, and it's possible. I feel optimistic about that. You know, I think that Justin Trudeau, I think he's another one that's come out about his practice. So
I love the way people have to come out about their yoga practice.
I know.
And also,
I know.
You've just put a terrible image in my head of Donald Trump doing a downward dog. So,
oh God, it's not good there. Although, wouldn't it do him good though? Maybe not the downward dog, but some inner reflection.
Definitely. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right. If world leaders all were doing it, I think we'd have a lot of very different decisions and maybe a different outlook. Yeah. But I suppose in your small way, that's what you're trying to do is spread this message, and that's what you're going to do with the festival. So you sound like you've got great people involved. It's kind of gone into a bigger thing than maybe you first imagined. But what can people expect, and what way can people get involved?
Sure. Well, there's about, I think there's 15 pretty well-known Irish teachers. That all of the teachers that we've picked are teaching at least 10 years, most of them 20. So they're all senior teachers. A lot of Irish teachers, like Michael Ryan, who teaches the president.
He's a great guy.
He's a sweetheart and a good friend. And he's one of our founding and headline teachers. So Michael will be there, and Mary Kennedy. And who else do we have on the Irish side? Brian Ingle, the infamous Brian Ingle.
I think I know him.
You might have a notion who he is. And then we have all these amazing teachers from around the world. We have teachers from Jamaica, from Bali, from lots from the States. Spain, Portugal, 3 teachers from Australia, Peter Clifford. We also have David Williams, who's a very well-known Ashtanga teacher. He's in his 70s. He's been practicing daily for 50 years, probably the longest practitioner of 50 years in the world. So he's coming on to give a live talk so people can come in and question and answers. And he's just written a beautiful book about his journey of yoga, so we'll have competition for that. And so there's just so many different styles of yoga, and also there are classes that you're not going to find in a yoga studio. Like, I think people go to studios to practice, to have their regular kind of daily practice with the teacher that they like, and this content that we have in the festival is fun and a bit more colorful. And we also have a lot of nature speakers. Like, we have the amazing Mary Reynolds, who Mary is a rewilder. She was the winner of the Chelsea Flower Show.
I love her.
Yeah, you interviewed her. Yeah. And she's an amazing speaker and so inspirational. And I love the way she's so many solutions about what we can do for the natural world, which is a big theme in our festival. And we also have Richard Narn. He's an Irish writer who's written a lot about folklore and Irish woodlands. So we have a real mix of things and some beautiful music from Sinead McGarrett. She's an Irish harpist. And yeah, we just have a lovely array of different things.
Green and Black's Organic Chocolate, a selection of ethically sourced flavours combined with a rich cocoa intensity.
Just, you mentioned the moon earlier, Cathy. I'm just having this lovely vision, which I hope to get over to your little house someday. If I'm welcome, maybe in a couple of years or something, when I can
bring the girls.
Yeah, exactly. They'd love it. But I'm just thinking about the moon, and I'm thinking about you as a woman, and this is the Women's Podcast. Can you talk a bit about the feminine energy and you as a sort of a feminist or a woman in this world? What yoga brings to you in that respect, or how do you interpret that as a woman? Is there anything different, or am I barking up the wrong tree there?
No, I suppose, you know, in the world of yoga, it was very male dominated for a long time. All of the big great teachers were men, and all the practitioners now are women. And that's changed a lot. There's probably like 70% of practitioners in Ireland anyway are women. Maybe it's a little less in the rest of the world. But, you know, if you go to a normal regular yoga class in a studio in Ireland, and there's 10 people in it, you can pretty much guarantee 7 or 8 of them are going to be women. And I suppose that's because women have a sensitivity that just they're naturally inclined to have a spirituality that they're open about, that, you know, women share more. We kind of tend to talk more about our feelings and all that. And it's sort of not really when lads get together and they have problems or things going on in their life, they don't tend to, not all of them, but like women, we would just sit around and we just talk about it until we've worked it all out. And maybe that's why there's more women attracted to yoga. I don't know, really. But and in your question about the moon, I think, like, it's a class I love to teach about women and the lunar cycle, you know, with their fertility and our menstruation, and the 28-day cycle of the moon is very relevant to how our bodies in fertility are working. Ovulation and menstruation and those 14-day cycles is usually the new moon and the full moon. So, and it's funny because living on that island in Copenhagen, this is known for the full moon parties. I'm just all about the moon because, you know, when the moon is full, the tides are high and then I can't go anywhere. You know, when the moon is dark, the whole jungle's really dark and I have to decide, make sure I have a torch in my pocket when I go out at night. So, yeah, I find living in Dublin City, I do love it here, but it is one of the hardest things for me when I look outside at night and it's all orange lights. You know, you have that light pollution. So yeah, it's a big influence on us all, I think.
Well, thank you for that, because I do think that's really important. And I think, you know, sometimes we lose sight of the fact of how connected we are with the moon and those cycles, and it's one of the most natural things, but we're not really taught too much about it, or it's not really connected. And it must be amazing to be surrounded by the moon in that way, and to kind of judge what you're going to do by whether it's big or small, or it's whatever, it's waning or waxing. Yeah. Tell people how they can get involved in the Celtic Woodland Yoga Festival, which I know was inspired by the Bali Spirit Festival, which you're very familiar with as well.
Yeah, well, I was teaching in the Bali Spirit Festival for the last few years. In fact, I was two days away from going when this whole lockdown happened and had to cancel everything. But the organizer and owner of the Bali Spirit Festival is a friend of mine, Megan Pippenheim, and she came to Ireland some years ago to visit, and we were doing, you know, taking her to some lovely places, and she's like, why is Ireland not on the map for yoga on the international level? And I said, well, I don't know. And she's like, you know, 20 years ago Bali wasn't, and now it's the center of yoga in Southeast Asia, and it's because of that, like, indigenous culture in Bali. And she said, you have that same culture here in Ireland, and everybody loves this notion of this poetical, mystical, green, lush land. And why aren't you bringing people here to experience that? So it's interesting when you have a pair of eyes that aren't Irish looking at us in that regard. And she's a real visionary. And I just thought, wow, yeah, you've really got a point there. So, you know, I talked to some friends about that, like Jack Harrison and Mary Kennedy, you know, who are really, their work in the realm of yoga is really interweaving that whole Celtic history and Celtic calendars of celebrations. And we just got talking about it. And I just thought, you know, we have so much woodland and green space here, like so much more than most countries. Like when you see, you're coming in to Dublin Airport from the plane and you see this blanket of green patchwork quilt, you don't see that in other places. It's just buildings and buildings. And so I just thought, okay, she's really got a point. And then my mom was involved in the School of Philosophy and she was helping publishing a book on the architecture of Townley Hall. And she said, you should go up and see that place. And you know, sometimes you get ideas from your mom and you kind of put them to the side. And she said it to me again. So I went up there and I didn't know it was a retreat center for 50 years already. And I opened the door and went into that place. And it's so special. It's this incredible house and it's surrounded by 350 acres of woodland. And I just knew when I walked in the door, you know, when you get those shivers and chills and you know something's right. Well, that was that. And the School of Philosophy really loved our idea and got supported us.
Well, thanks very much, Mrs. Pearson, for that one.
Mums are all County Council have got behind us. They've just recently sponsored us, so we're delighted about that.
And it won't be happening in the Boyne Valley. It won't be happening in that beautiful space. Or will some of them be there?
It partially will. A lot of our yoga classes that we're offering in the festival are being brought from there. And the house is spectacular. And wait till you see the classes we've done from there. They really are like incredible. We have like Sinead and this incredible spiral staircase playing the Irish harp, playing all these 17th century Irish airs. And we have like all of us Aggle Taggle yogis out in the woods doing our thing. So, and then we have people like Brian broadcasting his class from India and Nadine.
I should let people know that's my brother Brian Ingle. He's in Pondicherry in India and has been since the lockdown. It's probably the longest time he spent in, well, not the longest, but he never would be there at this point. He'd probably be over here except for lockdown. But I think people will be really interested in what he does somatically. He's into somatics. It's very slow, very mindful movement. And yeah, I would recommend him, even though he's my brother. It's a bit of nepotism there.
Well, his classes and what he does in his work really supports all other kind of practices of movement. And actually, it was Brian and I 2 weekdays before the lockdown on the phone to each other going, should we go to Bali? Shall we go? Because we were both presenting in the Bali Spirit Festival. And like hours before, he's like, shall we go? I just bought a ticket. Yeah, I've bought a ticket too. And then like 2 hours before, we're like, I don't think we're going. And the next day, boom, the school's closed down and everyone else knows the rest of that story.
Yeah. But how can people get tickets then? And what way does it work?
Sure. Well, if it's very simple, you just go onto our website, CelticWoodlandYogaFestival.com, and you register. And that's all you need to do. And then we will send you an email with a little bit of news about the program, which we will have if I get my act together today, ready by tomorrow. And then you'll be sent a link and you can tune in for 3 days. And like, we don't expect everybody to come and spend 8 hours a day at the festival, but they can come and they can do one or two classes in the morning, one or two classes in the evening. The program's amazing. So you can just look at your program and pick the classes that you're interested in. And then if there's classes that you didn't get to go to and you've loved to, then we have this other package that for 12 months, all that content will be online and people can join that if they want.
How much does it cost, Kathy?
Oh, it's free. It's free to come for the 3 days.
That's really important because yeah. I think, you know, that's a really generous and beautiful thing at this time to be able to offer to people that they don't have to pay, that they can get all that beautiful content.
Well, you know, we wanted to really let people see what we're doing. And it was one way that we could reach as many people as we could possibly. And also to say, look, we are doing something different here. This is unique and it is a special event. And there's never been anything done like this in Ireland that I know of. Maybe someone could correct me on that, but I'm not aware of it. And I think just the standard of teaching is very, very high. And they're just great people, all the teachers. Like, I'm looking at the classes people were submitting yesterday, and I have Kira, who you know as well, from the jungles in Panama, and Francie was from the jungles in Thailand. And they're all just gone to such effort to film their classes, and they just look beautiful. So
that's great.
Very proud of them all.
When is it happening, Kathy?
The 1st to the 3rd of August. And it'll be a long, like, running class. We've 3 virtual rooms, so you'll enter the festival site and it's a whole experience. You'll enter and you'll have a choice to go into a meditation room, a breath room, a yoga room, and you pick the class you want and in you go. And there's like something like 25 classes a day on offer. And then we'll have it in two time zones because we just found out we have like 150 people from Australia signed up yesterday.
Wow.
And then we had like 80 people from New York signed up the day before. So we have to do the timetable that it, like, someone, no matter where you are in the world, you can get a little piece of it.
Well, listen, it all sounds absolutely wonderful. I'm definitely going to be tuning in and, you know, well done on getting it together and all your team. I know it's not a huge team, so you must all be very much paddling furiously in the water. But it's been lovely to talk to you. We wish you all the best. We'll put details up on our Instagram page and everything so people can register if they want to.
Thanks, Roisin. Thanks so much for inviting me. And thanks for everybody who is listening as well.
Thank you very much to Kathy Pearson. And remember, as I said, it's free to register. You just go to CelticWoodlandYogaFestival.com. And it really does sound like there's something for everyone going on. There's so many events. That's all we have time for. The podcast is produced by me, Roisin Ingle, and by Suzanne Brennan, with JJ Vernon on sound. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.